All of the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly understood by the things which do appear, even to the eternal Godhead, so that we're without excuse. And so then when springtime comes, it always has to do with the resurrection. When the power of the Holy Ghost came, and people who were dead in trespasses and sins suddenly came to life. So it's like somebody that wrote a song one time, springtime and glory, always springtime and glory, with the flowers blooming so rich and rare. And sure enough, springtime is a Holy Ghost season as to symbols. And I like the move of the Spirit. I like the Holy Ghost. Let's read over in the 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. I think most all of us are by now fully conscious and aware of the fact that the church world in general has been just playing a game. And though they did what they understood to do for numbers of years, and it was the move of God, and people were baptized, and people shouted and praised God, and people did receive the infilling of the Holy Ghost, and they spoke in tongues and many things, yet the revelation of Jesus Christ that was to be given to the church, and this was for the translation of the saints. Because though you have an experience as to a birth, and of course when a child is born, it's born, whether it be little, stillbirth, or whether it be whatever, but it is still a child. And it might be little, it might be so tiny, as I heard of one the other day, it was so very tiny. And I can't remember, I believe it just, I wish I had somebody remind me what it was, but anyway, it was so very, very unreal as to the size of it. They didn't give it any hope to live, but it lived. And I remember a couple of twins over in Mississippi that we prayed for, that someone brought into the world, and we prayed for them. They were so very tiny, and they would give them no hope, but they lived. And though you be ever so tiny, you are still a living being. And if you do not have the Spirit of life in you, then you are a stillbirth. Now, so it doesn't matter. When you are born again, you're born again. And when you're born again, you're just a little tiny baby. And in the world out there, as to the church world, they kind of took it that when they were born again, that was it. You know, they'd been born again, and they'd done what they wanted to do, and that was it. But folks, when you're born again, that means you have just received the Holy Ghost. Not born again, as somebody says, and then after that you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then after that, you get sanctified, you get saved, you get filled with the Holy Ghost. All these kind of things, that's not the way that it is at all. I know that many of you have been taught that. I was taught that. And I didn't know any better, and I went along with that because I thought that's the way it was. But it isn't that way at all. All of the saved, sanctifying, and filling with the Holy Ghost is the act of God. In one great instance, He does it. And it's not two or three things. It's not a half a dozen things. Somebody said, well, you're born again, and after that, Brother Pike, then you're filled with the Holy Ghost. No, that's not it at all. That's not it at all. Somebody said, well, you're born again, and after that, you're sanctified. No, that's not it at all. The people are turned from darkness unto light by the preaching of the word, and the sanctification is, as Paul said in his writings, and the Lord said, Paul turned these people from darkness unto light, even unto the faith which is by me, or in me, by which they are sanctified. See, until you are sanctified by faith, God cannot even look at you. There's no way He can even look at you. The only way that God sees you is through the foreknowledge of God, is through the sanctification of His Son by that sanctifying blood that was before the world ever was When the Lord by foreknowledge wrote your names down in the Lamb's Book of Life and made you elect and called you according to a predestination. So you're God's people by predestination. And it's a predetermined thing. It's not anything that you do. You don't have anything to do with it. I don't have anything to do with it. Paul tells it in the Revelation that this was something that God Almighty determined in his mind and purposed in his heart as to his great program and his great purpose, that he would do these things and purpose these things in his heart before the world ever was, and made all of the decisions and saved all that was going to be saved and doomed all that was going to be doomed, as those that were appointed either unto life or death. And this is why the Bible carries it out that in the day Paul, seeing the revelation, said, and they that were ordained unto eternal life believed, and they that were not ordained unto eternal life, they did not believe. Said some of these men were ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, some of them beasts and even brute beasts made to be taken and burned. And he said, and these men of that poor nation, they have turned the grace of God into lasciviousness, because they were as Judas before he was ever born into the world. The prophecy was, let another his bishopric take. And I say so often, before Esau and Jacob was ever born into the world, that it might not stand by works, but by Christ, the God of heaven, who calleth, said, let the elder serve the younger, for Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. Paul said, the children, not as of yet, having done any good or evil. So that God has his way in all things. He lifts up who he wills. He puts down who he wills. This is why your pastor has a contest with intellectual brilliance. That's why that these people that study, whether they study the Bible or science or whatever they study, we run into each other, because they become an intellectual hindrance with their carnal mind, and even the more so if they're studying the Bible. The carnal mind is enmity with God, and the carnal mind only causes them to get in trouble, because the more they know, the more they credit to themselves as being some as to self-esteem, whereas the Bible teaches that knowledge puffeth up, but charity edify. And if you have not charity, you're sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal in his sight. So then I remember David of old, when he put the little stone into the sling and he overthrew the giant. That was symbolic as to our little sling of faith, the stone of the word that was hewed out of the mountain that tore down Babylon, and the old giant in that men is they are made a little lower than the angels, and that giant represented the satanic angelic forces of Lucifer. And in that David carefully put that stone just right, he'd become real skillful with it. He went down to that little creek, he got the stone, and he put it right in his forehead. And that's why that we who love the Lord, and we who have the Word of God, and we who have the mind of God, are always using our little sling when we have intellectuals. And we're always hitting that old tree of knowledge and that old system of education, and hitting that old thing where people intellectually indoctrinate themselves, whether it's religiously or whether it's otherwise. And as a result of that, we always went out. I said all that to say this, that we are God's predestinated. We are God's perfect ones. There's no spot. There's no blemish. There's nothing against us. There's not one thing that you can do that will make you good or bad. There's not one thing that will make you any better than what you are. Though you fast for many days and pray for many days, and though you try to serve God in such a way that you try to hold every thought just exactly right, when you finish, you are exactly what you was in the foreknowledge of God before you ever came into the world. And he saved you while you were yet in your sins, and he perfected you before you was ever born into the world. And the others were doomed as to Esau, I hated. And he made you his beloved and called you his beloved in Christ before the world ever was. And when the time came for you to be born into the world, thus you were born into the royal family. And you having been the royal family from the loins of the Father, from the foundation of the world. And you belong to him, and you're sons of God, and you will live right, and you will do right, and you will go by a whipping post. For every son that cometh unto him, he scourgeth him. And if you don't go by the whipping post, then you're no sonship. Jesus, though he was a son, yet learned the obedience by the things that he suffered. not in that he had to learn anything as to perfection. And yet the Bible said, being made perfect, he became the author and finisher of our salvation. But he didn't have to do that. As to him, he was the perfect one. He was our perfection. But he had to live a man's life in my behalf, that he might live the perfect life from his childhood as a little baby, all the way through, and never stumble and never err. And then down at the end of the trail said, now, Brother Pike, you're forever perfect. That does it. Now, I'm going to offer my body as a living sacrifice, a lamb without spot and without blemish, that all of these things pointed to as a figure of him that was to come. I am he. He told the woman at the well. She said, when my Messiah cometh, he'll tell us all things. He said, I that speak unto thee, I am he. And so then all of these things, he said to the Jews, you think you have eternal life. He said, but these are they that testify of me. He said, you search the scriptures. For all these scribes, they witness of me. And these things just spoke of a lamb that was spotless, that one day would come. Because the sin was by a human body. And it had to be done away with by a human body. And he only used symbolics until the time of the Reformation. And when the to whom the promise was made had fully come, then Pentecost came. And the Spirit that had dwelt in that body that came from glory, the image in which you originally was made, finally came back. And it's now dwelling in your heart if you've been born again. As a proof that you are of the royal family. So it isn't something that you fasted yourself unto and you Pentecostally lived unto as to be so good that you finally received the Holy Ghost. The Bible said God gives the Holy Ghost to them that please him. And the Bible said without faith, it is impossible to please God. And the way you please God is to repent of your sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And that pleases God. Because you're then dead by the body of the Lord Jesus. You reckon yourself to be dead by the body of the Lord Jesus. You have been buried so far as your bastard child image as would be if you was not crucified with Christ. And the fact that you're buried, dead, and gone, the beast body is now gone. You are now bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And you've returned to the originality of the image in which he was created. And the Holy Spirit thus comes into your heart as the Holy Ghost, which is the Spirit of Christ, witnessing that you are the very body of Almighty God, that you're the body of the Lord Jesus Christ and members in particular. And he comes inside to become interwoven with your spirit and seal your spirit unto the day of the change from this old ugly image into that beautiful, wonderful image of the Lord that stood on the mountainside that would have outshined the brightness of the noonday. The Bible said when John saw him, it was as though the sun shone within his strength. And the sun that shined within his strength was the great, wonderful Holy Spirit as to the brightness of that wonderful awakening of the revelational mind of Almighty God that was to swallow up the body of death because the body is the body of sin and death. And because of sin, the body is thus killed at Calvary and is dead. Because in the flesh there dwelleth no good thing. It's the old beast nature, the old beast body. But then it's gone, and today we are now partakers of the wonderful divine nature of Almighty God. So great is the mystery, and how beautiful it is that when we are born into the kingdom, we are born, and that's it. Once and for all, that's it. And anything that we apply as to a sanctification, anything as to a conformity, or anything that might have to do with anything as pertaining to salvation, as to our works, is strictly the body trying to submit itself to the innermost glory of God and the innermost seal of God and the innermost life of God, which is a complete work even before the world ever was in the mind of God. And the Lord is just trying to work with you, and it is to the measure that you submit your body as to whether it's 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, that's what you are as to children, as to the feminine gender or the masculine gender as the sonship. And that's what you are as to what you submit your body to. Not just going on a fast and praying all night or something like that. But what you submit your body to day by day, every deed, every thought, until the very intents of your heart is an adoration of God. And the very motivation of your heart is just to please him. And every deed, every word, every thought, every intent of the heart, wherever you go, in all you do, all you think, all you say, When you come into this, then you're coming into the perfection of that heavenly treasure within these earthen vessels made manifest as the life of Christ in your mortal genes. And as to whatever you submit to it, that's what you are. The child is known by his doing. So then we praise God as to a daily sanctification because we give ourselves to the Lord. But don't ever confuse that with your new birth, and don't ever confuse that with the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. In faith in Christ Jesus is what pleases God. And when we please God, then comes the Holy Ghost. You know, I try to explain this to my audience a lot of times, whether I'm home or abroad. You know, you ask yourself the question, why is this so weird? You know, it seems that the human family, because of the perverted mind of having fallen to the beast level, seems like that the plan of God is so weird. And you think, my God, why does he have to have blood? Why is he always killing little animals for? And I just wish we had time to explain all this thing. It's fantastically wonderful why he did it, and all in our behalf. And then you say, well, God, you know, here's a blind man. Why in the name of reason don't you heal that blind man? Here he is, he's crying and he's bawling and he's begging and he's pleading. As the man by the wayside saying, O thou son of David, have mercy on me. And why don't you just heal the man? You know, people who are full of ignorance, even as I was and even as you was, until the light came unto me, they are always confronting me with this around the world. Well, if he's God and he's good and he's compassionate, why does he let people suffer? And I think, you know, your ignorance is showing. He has never let anybody suffer. As to the contrary, he went and suffered for everyone so that there would not be one person to suffer. Then why do they suffer? Because of their rebellion and their ignorance and because of their contrariness and because they will not listen and because they will not conform to the things of God. And why do they die? If God is so good, why does he kill everybody? He doesn't kill anybody. He said, death is an enemy to me and you're the one that let it in and you're to blame for killing all of my people. Let's give the Lord a hand. So let's place the blame where it belongs and put the shoe on the fellow that ought to have to wear it. But God, who is the precious, wonderful God of heaven, I expressed it a time or two to you that if you believe in the sunshine and you know the sunshine is there all the time, then why do you let the clouds get you down? Why? Why don't you have a perseverance to say, well, it's cloudy today and it's cloudy tomorrow. But like the songwriter said one time, the sun's going to shine in my back door someday. Someday winter's going to be over. Someday the parasites is going to be destroyed. Someday all of this thing's going to be gone. And these people that trouble us will be no more. And someday there'll be no healing medicines. It's fast going out now. They're finding that doctors are killing people rather than helping them. And all of it's going out. And all this intellectual tree of knowledge that's reflected the glory of God, that stole the blessings of God to appear so sweet and kind, that's a bunch of drunkards and harlots and murderers and thieves, robbers and whatever, and that Satan is a thief and a robber, that old carnal mind that has taken the glory of God. God's fixing to cut them down like trees. And the Bible said when he finishes cutting them down, the trees will be so few as to my trees that even a little child shall be able to number them. So we're just about at the place to where God is. Already he's confounding the weatherman. You know, he sits there with his old intellectual brilliance. And he says, today's going to be a beautiful day. But as he said the other day, he said, I don't know what kind of day it's going to be. My computer says it's going to be beautiful. He said, but I just don't know anymore. See, and the Lord's beginning to let him know he don't know anymore. And people don't know anymore. And the professor don't know anymore. And scientists don't know anymore. And all of their brilliance of ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth, science knowledge, falsely so called, is crumbling, and the old tree of knowledge is having the axe laid to the root of the tree, and God's bringing it down, and the tree of life is coming forth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're about to put out your branches, and your fruit's going to be beautiful. And the Bible said to bring forth fruit, even to perfection. Let the Lord do the purging. All right, so I didn't mean to get in such a hurry, but I wanted to just say one or two little things, is that God is the great day star that's dawning within your heart. And he is the one that's shining from that inward heavenly kingdom down upon your earthly body. And earth is the footstool that receives as to the recipient of that great wonderful light. And that light that shines from within your heart is that wonderful revelated word of God, that spiritual word, having the spirit of revelation, which is the spirit of Christ. And the veil is to the veil of death, which was the body of Jesus, is now put away. And the light is now shining. So the true light is now shining because the Spirit of Christ has been released from that body of death, that veil of death, which was Jesus, which was made sin to become a veil of death and sin, to be smitten by the Father, that this wonderful Christ might live in your life and that you might have it as though the sun shineth within your strength and as the light that outshineth the brightness of the noonday. So until the day star dawns within your heart and after Calvary, they said the true light is now shining. In that city of the great foundation, where the Bible said, and Abraham sought for a city whose builder and maker is God, who is a city that hath foundations, and that these in this world there is no such as to a foundation. It's just a ball floating around. But there is a city that hath foundations. Even the wonderful new Jerusalem that comes down from heaven is adorned as a bride for her husband. So this wonderful city Abraham sought for, whose builder and maker is God. And Paul said, it's not me living, but it's Christ or it's God. And they spoke of the foundation. Other men could lay no foundations except these that Jesus picked, which was 12. And let every man be careful how he builds upon, for the day shall try his works. And if he builds hay and stubble, it'll be burned. And if your works survive, you'll receive a reward. On to the full measure, the full stature, on to the full reward. And so then Abraham sought for this city, whose builder and maker of God. The Bible says, and the Lamb, Mr. Christ, is the light. The great, wonderful, revelated knowledge of God. He is the light of that city. And there is no night in that city. And the doors, the gates, that is, we say, are open by day. But there is no night, so that they're never closed. And he, the Lamb, is the light of that city. And ye are the lively stones that's built upon the foundation of those apostolic leaders. And Jesus Christ, even as Paul was after Calvary, caught up to the third heaven, is the capstone of that great revelational, all-seeing eye of that great city. So we can see God has done a wonderful thing, and we could go on and go on concerning the gates as to those 12 tribes and what they have to do with. Three gates on the east and on the west and on the north and the south. And it'll take a little while to completely go into it. But God is a spirit. So as I was saying at the first of our little text here, that I think that we have come to the place to where we understand that the world's been playing a game. And someone say, you don't really believe that. More than that, I know that. I know that. Oh, you couldn't possibly know. Oh, yes, I know. Somebody said, well, now you talk like you'll know all. Well, the Bible said we have an unction from the Holy One that we should know all things. Let's give the Lord a hand. Not us living but Christ, to let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, being made in the form of God, or in Christ, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But he didn't try to make himself a reputation as to the natural flesh of the man, but humble himself to the washing of the feet. But I only want to say that to say this, that they played games because they were children. And Paul said, when I was a child, I act like a child. That means play games. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. A lot of you people are still children as compared to Einstein and the great mighty men of this world. The Bible speaks of them being great, mighty people. And they played games, but they were still God's children. They were innocent. They did what they knew to do. They spoke in tongues. They danced. They shouted. I have talked to them in years gone by, and I would say, well, did you have a good service tonight? They said, we shouted that preacher clear down. We had such a good time. The Spirit of God was moving so that it wasn't no need for him to preach. And I thought, well, praise God. You know, y'all must have had a good time. But when you get that time to time, you're having too good a time. When you're getting so loud that you holler and scream and mother and daddy can't tell you nothing and you got to go and you get to where God can't even speak to you. Well, we're simmering down a little bit now. And everybody's not hollering and screaming and trying to prophesy and take up the service and be seen and whatever. Well, even here, you've seen them come up and take just walk up and take the mic out of my hand. And knowing it was nothing but little babies, and yet they felt it was so great and mighty. But I thought, Lord, this poor little baby, I don't want to offend it. And I just work along with it till finally I had to stop because one baby done it, another baby done it, another baby. And after a while, you know, they was just kind of standing in line. And I had to put a stop to it. But anyway, that's babies. See, that's babies. And babies like gifts. And the Bible said, pray that God will give you a gift. You know, desire the sincere milk of the word that you might grow thereby. And let God give you a gift. And he will give you a gift. And this way you can develop and you can grow with your gift. And the love of God can be seen in you and things can happen in your life. And all these things. But always remember that all the gifts are subject to the Spirit. I've heard people say, you know, back in my time, they said, well, boy, that person speaking in tongues right there, and you can't do nothing, you can't say nothing. And if they're prophesying, you can't say nothing, you can't do nothing. And I'd say, well, why can't you? Said, well, they can't help it. They can't stop it. I said, well, I don't understand that. The Bible said the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. And so I said, oh, Brother Pike, that's not the spirit of the prophet. Well, why is it? The Bible said, if such and such, if there be such and such, then let them hold their peace that's going to do the prophesying. And let them not speak in tongues unless somebody is present to interpret. Sounds to me like it's the spirit of the prophet. You don't hold God's spirit. The Bible said no man has power over the spirit to retain it at death when it comes to God calling for it. So see, it's just because we're children. We think we understand something. When we don't understand something, as we know. And so then people have made havoc out of the church. And then ministers coming along, fame and popularity, and ministers coming along, television and money and all this other, they've made havoc out of it. But in spite of all of this, it's like the vision we had where we caught the beard of the thing. Is Betty read the vision today back to us. They're fixing to publish it, of where we held on to this thing until the fire, the brimstone came, and it was angry and it snarled and it done everything, but it didn't get loose. And we held on to it till all the heavens turned into brimstone and fire and rained down, and the whole earth turned into ashes, and then the devil was gone and wickedness was gone and evil, everything was gone, and there stood the people that had made it into the world of righteousness. Hallelujah. See, so there is the way that seemeth right unto man, and the ways thereof are death. Every man's ways is right in his own eyes, and then there is a right way. The right way. It is a true fact that they did play games. And now that we're becoming grown-ups, we're putting away childish things. And Paul said, being as babes, we just know through, we see through a glass darkly. And when that which is perfect is come, then we shall see face to face, and we shall know as we are known. And that is what we're coming to. Somebody would say, what do you mean? The Bible said, let us go on to that which is perfect. Let us be ye therefore perfect, even as our Father is in heaven. So reading in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, if you've got your Bibles, you can read with me. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto the present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles that are not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and by his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. And that's true, folks, because if in this life we have hope of life and of God, we're the most miserable of all because everything is down on us. Everything is contrary to us. We have to forsake everything. We have to turn away from everything, and we're just miserable, that's all. But if we've got another hope beyond the grave, then when some of our loved ones depart, the Bible said we do not weep as they that have no hope, because when we lose our loved ones, we praise God that we're going to meet them again. But they weep because they have no hope of ever seeing them again. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Now that's a thought that I want to kind of dwell on a few minutes tonight. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but in every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ that is coming. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet, but when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are they even they then baptized for the dead? And why stand ye we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantageth it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, and for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Now I read kind of hurriedly over to this that I might slow down just a few minutes here at the thing that I want to read. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul, the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterwards that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthly, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible hath put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, one thing here that's really outstanding is that flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. When you say flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God, this is again where I dispute with preachers and people. Paul said, I disputed the scripture daily. And he did this with the Jews. And one of the great reasons that Paul did this was because the Jews, having been taught the way that they were taught, they unawares was of the opinion that flesh and blood was going to inherit the kingdom of God. They did all kind of ritualistics. They went through all kind of things and were fully convinced that the Messiah was coming back to them on those terms. And Paul, being spiritual, he tried his best to tell them that this is wrong, that God will never do that. There'll never be a time when God will do that. See, God cannot do that. This is my dispute with a lot of the Pentecostals of today. See, I differ with them because they teach all these things as to what they call living for God. And I'm certainly not against it. I'm not against fasting. I am not against praying. I am not against studying the Word. I am not against living a perfect life in every way before God. It's required of us. We should do it. It's just a reasonable thing, the Bible said, to give our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. I'd say the best living person today in the world as to living for God is so shallow and so far from the goal and so unlike Christ Jesus, even at their very best. See, so we need to go on to perfection. I'm for every bit of that, but I am not for confusing the issues of God. Paul said when he received the revelation, Peter being of the Jews, having been taught those things, so was Paul taught those things. But Paul said, Peter, I blame you to your face because you are to be blamed, he said. He said, for why is it that you fellowship the Gentiles till the Jews come up and then you get afraid and you go back with the Jews? If you yourself, being a Jew, live like the Gentiles, why do you try to compel them thus to live like the Jews? He said, I'm not going to frustrate the grace of God. So he brought it down to a hairline, as we say, and he said, look at it like it is. If men have to be saved by the law, we had the law before Jesus ever came. Thus it means that Jesus died in vain. There was no need for God to save him. I'm not going to frustrate the grace of God. He turned to the Galatian peoples and he said, oh foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should fail to obey the truth of the living God, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was evidently set forth and crucified. How is it that you are so ignorant, he said, having begun in the Spirit, and you didn't have nothing to do with it, as we say. You had nothing to do with your birth. You had nothing to do with your salvation. You started this by faith in the Spirit of God. As we preach the word, you believe, and God gave you His Spirit. Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, that ye now feel that you can be made perfect by the flesh? Folks, how ignorant are we? How ignorant is the church world? And that is why God has allowed them to deck out in bathing suits. That's why He's allowed them to get mixed up in ball games. And that's why He's allowed them to follow after science, falsely so called, and find places as in the places of celebrities and want to be in the government and all these kind of things. God allowed that. He allowed Satan to entice them because they were trying to be justified in that thing as it was with the Jews, more holy than thou. And God finally just turned them over to this thing to where they could do all of these things. And after a while, wake up and say, my God, what kind of a person am I? Where is all of that righteousness and that sacredness and that holiness that I thought I had? And then, of course, they turn charismatic because they don't know anything else to do. They turn charismatic. And they say, well, bless God, everybody's doing it. You know, I guess that's what we do. And we just forget about all of this other religious efforts. And we just, you know, God loves us in spite of ourselves. And then they take the other extreme. And then they are sent strong delusions to believe a lie and damn. Someone would say, Brother Pike, explain that. What do you mean by that? If they left all of this other and turned to that, then wasn't that faith? No, that was foolishness. There's a difference between foolishness and faith. That was foolishness. See, that was foolishness. When they turned away from the sacred things that God had given them, God exposing it, making an expose out of the religious world, saying, there's none of you good, no, not one, just like he did to the Jews. All of you have gone astray. Every man has turned to his own way. And God has laid upon Christ Jesus the iniquity of us all. So then, when they did this, then they really got into the mire. When you come to the knowledge of the truth and you turn away, there's no more sacrifice for sin. So the thing ballooned and it's all over the world now. And it's going in under the papacy. And it's turning as it would be as those three unclean spirits that went out to gather the rich together to bring them to that battle of Armageddon. See, though the Lord's Holy Spirit is poured out upon them, and though they're receiving that and the blessings of that, even upon the terror, yet all this charismatic thing has got into that as being in the presence of God. And because they can shout and speak in tongues and do all these things, they feel like they're full of the Holy Ghost and this is the move of God and that they don't have to live for God. Folks, I'm telling you, lying vanities. God turns them over to a reprobate mind that they might believe a lie and be damned. God isn't in any of that. If they shout, so does the terror jump up and down when the rain comes. If they get blessed, so does the terror. If they get rich and full, so does the terror unto a full harvest. It doesn't mean a thing. The Bible teaches unless you have His Spirit, you are none of His. And if you have His Spirit, it will cause you to conform to the ways of God. A dog spirit will bring forth as to a dog nature. A lion spirit will bring forth as to a lion nature. A man spirit will bring forth as to a man's nature. A demon spirit will bring forth as to a demon nature, for it is a personality. And God's Spirit will bring forth as to the Christ mind, as to the Christ life, until this wonderful abundant life, Jesus said, being the Prince of Life, this wonderful abundant life shall overflow in your life, and there it shall be. And the Holy Spirit shall be within you, and your light shall so shine that men may see some good work and glorify your Father in heaven. So then what are we saying? There is a way to do works, even as the Jews did. And it meant nothing. I fast, I pay tithes, I do all of these things. God never noticed it. Because the man that went up that offered nothing was saved by grace. But when the Holy Spirit comes on the inside of you, you can tell the child by its doings. Because the Bible said to your faith, if you have real faith, and not just as the terror, because it's to believe the devil believes. But that doesn't mean that's real faith. But the Bible said when it comes to real faith, one of the problems of today that I speak of is people do not know how to use their faith. They cannot enjoy their faith. They receive no benefit of their faith as to this extent that they merely believe. Because when it comes to real, genuine faith, the Bible said, add to your faith virtue. Right there is where they get bogged down. Right there is where they get in a rut. He said, add to your faith virtue. Because virtue is what you need. And that's the one thing you cannot find in the world today as a rule. God has called us unto virtue. He's called us unto glory because of this virtue that we develop in our life. Mary conceived because she was a virgin, and the Bible speaks of the virgins. And some being wise, some losing their virginity, and others did not. So then, we are called unto virtue, and with this comes the wonderful glory of God as to swallow us up in that wonderful image as to the restoration of that illumination of that Shekinah that was lost through the fall there in the garden. Now, when you don't add virtue to your life as to leave off with the ball games, leave off with all the frolics of the world, for the Bible said, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, being proud, it goes as a spirit just before destruction. Or a fall, that's a haughty spirit. See, when you don't leave off with the world, you are of the world. For if you have the love of the world in you, then the love of the Father is there. That means you have Satan's spirit who loves and cares for the things of the world. And you don't have Christ's spirit which rejects, denies all those things to have the love of God. Your conversation in heaven, your desire in heaven, your treasures in heaven, your vision in heaven, laying up treasures in heaven, turning away from the world, mortifying the deeds of the flesh, equipping yourself with the mind to suffer. See, as to kill out the old beast body, because inwardly you are heavenly. Inwardly you are eternal. Inwardly you are the son and daughter of God. And this body that you despise is the outer man, giving no place to the flesh, not dwelling in the flesh, but mortifying the deeds of the flesh, and accounting for the flesh as being crucified there at Calvary, and that your spirit, angelic being, went away to the body of Christ, which is yonder at the right hand of the Father, that you might dwell in his presence, and that you might deny yourself to follow him as to take up a cross. So then, virtue, that's the first mistake. When you don't add virtue to your faith, you can forget about your faith as to bringing you any benefits, whether it's healing or whatever. It is when the little woman got near to Jesus that she said, I felt virtue, or Jesus said, I felt virtue go out of my body. She said, I felt virtue. Though she'd spent all of her living on the physicians and was no better, but rather grew worse. See, but when virtue went out of his body, Paul said, if anything have any virtue in them, anything be pure, anything be lovely, let your thoughts be this. That's the kind of thoughts to think. Cast down every thought of your own thinking. Get it out of your mind as to the love of the world. All that is of the world is the lust of the flesh and the pride of life and the lust of the eyes. All. And the world and the lust thereof passeth away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So then the virtue went out of Jesus. Paul said, think on these things that have virtue. He said, make straight paths for yourself, lest that which is lame be turned aside, but rather let it be healed. So then, as to these things, you can do them as the Jews did. It means nothing because they did not have the Spirit of God. And the man got no reward for it. And the man that had no works got the favor of God. But when the Holy Spirit comes into you, it is not a matter of you doing your ritualistics as to self-will or will worship. It is the unction of the Holy Spirit in you that doeth these things, that worketh in you mightily. The Bible said to do things abundantly and above all that you can even conceive of in your mind by the power that worketh within you. So the little babe is growing from a tiny babe in you. Paul said, I travail till Christ be formed within you, until this little babe becomes a great and a mighty thing as to your inheritance and your reward. Now, so we see in differentiating between the body and the spirit that the flesh profiteth nothing. You as Mr. and Mrs., you as reverend, you as doctorate, you as those things as title, a president and celebrities and millionaires, what are you? You are nothing. You profit nothing. All that you do in life is nothing. And the Bible said you are of the dust with the love of the world and seeking the things of the world, because Satan on the inside of you desireth the things of the world, and you are nothing. All of your good works, all of your religious activities, all that the money that you give to build churches and whatever, he said it is nothing. Not anything. Somebody said, well, I don't believe that. Well, why don't you stand up right now and let us all know why. I told you why it's like that. Rather than think it, why not stand up and prove to me it's not like that? Oh, well, Brother Pike, if you do a good thing. Paul said, I praise you in a good thing. But people of the world don't do good things. Oh, somebody says, but I know some people of the world that done good things. You've never known anybody in the world that ever done anything. That's good. You're just having strong delusion. The Bible said the children of this world are taken into captivity at the will of the devil. Anything that a man does out there, it's got strings on it. He's either wanting admiration, or he's trying to do something somewhere. He wants a tax write-off. There's something going on somewhere. It is a personal motive, because Paul said there is no good thing in the flesh. How are you going to get anything good out of something when there's nothing good there? So they don't do good things. And they do not love you to do a good thing. They would have to love you. And they don't love you. The Bible said the world loveth its own. And the Bible said all that is of the world is corruption. So there's no good thing there to be done. And when you think about faith, real God faith, and you differentiate between the beast. See, the beast, let me comment just a minute here. The beast, that is that which is full of devils. When man lost the image of God, Adam was no longer the son of God. He fell to the beast image. And Adam was then in the transgression. Though Adam was not in the original transgression, but he became part of it because he partook through his wife. So then that means that God, when he charged the person with sin, did not charge Eve. He said in Adam, all die. And death comes through man by Adam, because Eve was just part of Adam, and she was not the controlling part, nor the governmental part. She was only the flesh of the mind that established the thing and made it a fact, and to kill out humanity. So Adam killed us all. Adam killed all mankind. And in Adam all die. So then that beast body, from that very moment that the devil entered into Eve, from that time the devils have always entered into people. This is why that it is so hard for the minister to be able to communicate with people. You come in here as people. And I say this to everybody. Jesus said, what I say to one, I say to all. All over the world, wherever we minister, you come together. See, and there's devils and devils and multiplied devils. And one person like the woman that had seven devils. One person like the man that had a legion of devils. And like Jesus said, as to that old foxy nature, go tell that fox, he said, because it is a beast. They have a beast nature. And then he said, you generation of vipers, knowing that their nature was a snake nature. And it's always been that way. And then when the blessings came, as from Jacob, he said, and concerning Benjamin, he spoke of this one as an adder that laid by the way, and this one as a ravening wolf, and on and on and on. And so it is today. See, so it is today. And as those swine over there, when Jesus began to cast out the devils, they begged to go into the swine. See, and the world today is filled with devils. Devils of all kinds. And if I said some of them, some of you wouldn't like it, hear me. But some of them are ball game devils. Let's give the Lord a hand. And folks don't like that term, because preachers, they allow for ball games. Churches, they allow for ball games. And Brother Pike, why do you always have to say something about the ball game? Hallelujah. I don't like ball game devils. Amen. Folic devils, whether it's up and down the beach or whatever it is. All of this thing out there, the racetracks and all this money betting and gambling, wherever it's at, is of the devil. All that is of the world is of the devil. And I say that ball game is of the world. I don't read nothing about ball games and glory. All right. Now, so then we know, and I don't have time to get into these things tonight because I took quite a lot in the prelude there, but here's the thing we have to remember. If our faith is going to work, then we have to understand faith. And number one, there has to be virtue. It was the virtue that healed the little woman. See, faith is only a channel. God looks at us and we think, why so weird? You know, why do we have to believe God? Why don't you just heal the sick? You're loving and compassion. Why don't you do it? Because he cannot. Because he cannot. Oh, somebody says, Brother Pike, you don't believe that. The Bible said there's nothing impossible to God. Well, the Bible said it's impossible to please God without faith. Let's give the Lord a hand. And the Bible said it's impossible for God to lie. So on both ends, there's a problem that's an impossibility. So, what am I saying? I'm saying that to please God, I cannot get healed unless I have faith. That's why Jesus said, according to your faith, lady, be it unto you. Or daughter, or son. And that's why he said that over here, many mighty works he could not do. I heard an evangelist interpret that one time, said he would not do. It was no would not do it. There was no would not do it. See, because the Bible teaches that God poured his grace out. He shed his blood for the sins of the whole world and saved us while we were yet in our sins. And that these people that are out there in the world that are not even Christians can come and get healing. So why would he not do it? He is not a respecter person. He could not do it. The Bible said because of their unbelief. Because the only way, even if the blood is on the seat of atonement, the only way that you can have a communication with God is by those reflectors out there of being religious and these kind of things as believing. Even the devil believes. And that's why he gets by like he does while the blood is on the seat of atonement. So even the devil came up into the presence of God in the days of Job because of the blood that was shed from the foundation of the world. Even the devil comes to church in human bodies during the day of the blood being on the seat of atonement. And God doesn't see it because he's looking at the blood. See, but someday that dispensational grace is going to be over. See, and this is what I'm trying to get over to you. Why is it so weird? It's not weird. It's a program. It's a way. It's something that God, you know, someone said, well, I've had him to tell me this. Why did God let that little baby die? He's whatever you say. He couldn't do anything about it. Oh, he's God. He can do anything. The Bible said all things are possible to God. I know. The Bible said all things are possible to him that believe. Why did the man stand there and let the little baby die? If it's possible to God, it's also possible to man. Why didn't the man do something about it? Oh, man don't have nothing to do with it. Man was the one that accepted the lie and caused the problem. Man was the one that caused death. He was the one that caused death. He is responsible for death. God didn't bring no death. Death is the enemy of God. God hates it because it robbed him of the very image he wanted to project himself through as an abundance of life. See, and what could the man have done? What could I do? What could you do? The Bible said, since death came by man, so then resurrection came by man. As death by one Adam, in him all die. As life by one, Christ Jesus, in him all are made alive. Did Adam have to sin a dozen times for us to be under sin and death? No, one time. And the Bible said, and the others never having sinned after the similitude of Adam, yet they all were under the penalty of death. So then if Jesus lived right one time, does everybody else have to live right after that to have eternal life? No. It was the foreknowledge of God. Everybody else don't have to live right. Jesus lived right. That's what brought life. Sin by one man, death by one man, righteousness by one man, life by one man. That's all it took. Now, well, somebody disputes that. That's okay. I don't have time to wrestle with all those. That's foolishness. Here's the thing. I just want to get on over a thought tonight. Why does God require faith? Because he cannot look at us any other way. Think on it now. He cannot heal us. Do you think that God would let me be sick and me preaching the word? And not heal me? And me trying to tell everybody about God? Do you think that God would let you live a Christian life and some of you little toddling babies? And just, you know, and you're trying to testify of God and tell the world about God, you that are old enough to do it? And along with the little toddling baby, that God just fold his arms, you know, and say, I'm trying your faith. Don't be ignorant, folks. You know God is not ignorant. This thing about God just trying my faith. I know he's just trying my faith. And that's why he's put this thing on me. You must be so mixed up. You must be so ignorant. God ain't never put nothing on nobody. Oh, I know you got a scripture, but I can prove that you don't understand the scriptures. The Bible said rightly divided. He's never put anything on anybody. Never. Even the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible said we esteem him smitten of God. Some of us go, boy, there's where he smote him. The Bible said we esteem him smitten of God. But it's a true fact that God never laid a hand on Jesus. The men killed Jesus. The Romans killed him. See, but let me go on. We don't have time to explain all those things. It's the mystery of the Lord. But here's the thing. God cannot heal them. If God could heal them, he would heal them. If you that have any reasoning about you, any compassion about you, any love, the Bible said God's compassion is new every day. It says his mercy is new every day. And any mother, any dad, anybody, even if it wasn't their little child, that would stand and let a little child choke to death, let a little child smother to death, let a little child die when they could do something about it, folks, they wouldn't be a human being and you couldn't classify them as a beast. They'd have to be what the Bible said, brute beasts made to be taken and burned and destroyed. And then somebody says, God did all of that? And you call him the sweet heavenly Father, and you call him your God, and you say he did all of that? You know better than that. Somebody says, well, I know he stood there when I was begging and crying. And I knew that happened to my loved one. And you think God did that. Folks, let's give God a hand. He's not that ignorant. I'm sorry that some of you are that ignorant. And usually the ones that have these kind of disputes and that come against me and other ministers and children of God, a lot of time the children don't know how to explain it. And sad to say, a lot of times the minister isn't even acquainted with God enough to know. But these kind of people that come and do these are people that are ignorant. They are totally ignorant. And sad to say that sometimes people that are elect has got so muddled up in their mind and so confused until they come along and say things like this, until you can straighten them out and show them how foolish they are. Don't ever even think like that. Don't ever listen to a man with his foolish tongue. The Bible said the unruly tongue shall be rooted out. To listen to any such thing like that against the Holy Father. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his attitude is peace on earth and goodwill toward man through the blood of his Son forever and eternally, without any changes, without any alterations, irregardless of your foolish thinking and your mind that changes like the wind. God never changes. That sunshine is the same. It stays up there behind him cloud, and it's trying to break through and get to you. It likes to nourish the earth. Its delight is to see the trees bud out. It has no pleasure in the middle wall of petition and the breezes that gets between it and that he would like to nourish, or it would like to nourish and bring forth life. And it's always the same. And in it is there is no day and night. There is no darkness in that city. The Lamb is the light. There's no night in that city. With that sun, there's never a night. Never. Wherever it goes, it's day as it travels around the world. So we take a long time again, as I say, to explain what we're trying to say. Why is it so wearied then? Why is it the little one dies? Why is it the mother dies? Why is it the people die? Man did it. Man with his wretchedness. Man with his evil doings today, his wretchedness. Even doctors. They are wretched unless it's a real Christian person that will get out of the fuddled up mess. And they will if they get into the mind of Christ. They are the killers. They are the beasts. Their brilliance, their scientific practices, all of that, they should get born again. They are a temple of the devil. He dwells on the inside of them. Everything that they do is for their own selfish motive. And that's why a lot of times when a person is dying, you can't get one of them to even look at them. That's why a lot of times over here in a little town where they don't have much money, as I heard today, they can't hardly get doctors to even go into those places. I know you don't agree with me, but glory to God, it's right anyway. And them that love the truth know it's right. So the world loves its own. If you got money, you're part of them, and they'll receive you. All right, so what are they doing? Somebody said, isn't all of that good where they save those lives? I've never known one of them to save a life. All they've ever done is reflect the glory of God and reflect the knowledge of the children of God. And all they've ever done, even making a medicine, and a medicine doeth good, like a merry heart. But all that was reflection, and God allowed it upon the tear. And they took it just like the witches does, just like the fortune tellers do, just like Balaam did the gifts to make money off of it. All of it. All right, somebody said, well, I don't see it that way. That's because you're blind. The Bible said you'll not see when good cometh. All right, why is then this so weird as it would seem to be? It's not weird. Folks, God would heal if he could heal. Every person, the Bible said he went about doing good, healing all that was oppressed of the devil. Somebody would say, well, there you are right there, Brother Pike. That proves what you said was wrong. That's what proves it's right. Somebody said, but it very definitely, distinctively says God healed them all. It very definitely, distinctly says that many mighty works God could not do because of their unbelief. See, it's line upon line and precept upon precept, and not to grab a scripture and run off with it and try to prove your point. Somebody said, well, that don't sound right. Well, why don't you stand up and explain it? Got open house. If you've got the answer, you stand up and explain it. It's exactly the way that we're saying it. He that God sends will speak his word. Why then is it necessary for me to believe? God, if I'm elect, why don't you just save me and let that be it? If I'm sick and you're so compassionate and you're such a loving God, why don't you heal me? Here's the answer. Because God cannot even look at you. He cannot even see you. He cannot even look at you unless you believe. There is no way. Somebody says, well, how does he spare all of them people out there in the world, Brother Pike? Because he looks at the blood of Jesus. He never sees them. He never sees them. They are images of iniquity. And the only thing he can see is the sanctified image of his Son as the blood and the life in that blood over them people. Jesus could do that because he was a near kinsman redeemer. He is relative to us. And like Joseph that interpreted the dream to Pharaoh. See, this is where the mercy comes from. Pharaoh did not see that. He did not know anything about those things that were to come. So, what are we saying? I'm saying that we are sanctified. By the faith of Jesus, we are sanctified, the Bible said, by the blood of Jesus. And God wants to heal me, but I've got to be sanctified to where he can see me. I've got to be sanctified to where he can look upon me. I've got to be sanctified to where he can come near me. Somebody said, well, what does believing have to do with this, Brother Pike? It's because with the heart I believe unto my righteousness, which is Jesus. And God comes down through Christ's Spirit to me, just as quick as I believe. I know it works. I've done put it to use many times in numbers of ways I wish we had time to talk to you about tonight. Works to the T. See, works physically, works every way. See, so when I'm sanctified, God is like water behind a dam. If he can find one tiny little crack in it, he'll bust that middle wall of petition to get to you, because that's his child. And he hears your moaning, and he's trying to get to you. And he came to you like this, with blood dripping from his hand, said, I've done all I can. I've come to you. I've done all I can. I can't do no more. Will you believe in me? Will you believe in me? Will you believe in what I've done? Will you believe? Will you believe? He said, though a mother may forsake her suckling child, I'll never forsake you. I've engraved you in the palms of my hands, that I may never forget you. I know, you know, I've said this again and again. The science say it can't be. This won't hold a man. If you crucify him, you have to put it through here. But he didn't say, I have engraved you in my arm. He said, in the palms of my hand. And I believe what the Bible says. All right, now, he has to have faith. And when I believe in the mercies of God, of the promise of his word, all things that pertain unto life, through that blood and the sacrifice of Jesus, there ain't nothing in the world can stop me from getting healed. There ain't nothing that can stop me from getting saved. There ain't nothing that can stop God from being right with me and the angels and camping around about me to deliver me wherever I go. There ain't nothing. Somebody said, I did that and it didn't work. You are a lying. You are a lying devil. That's all you are. Oh, somebody says, Brother Pike, I said, you are a lying devil. And what you need to do as a person is get rid of that lying devil. No one has ever done that and not received the blessings of God. That would break an altar of the scripture, and they can't be changed. By his stripes we're healed. I am the Lord God that forgiveth all of thine iniquities and healeth all of thy diseases. And he did it in Calvary. It'll come to pass out here before you ever call, even before the foreknowledge of the world. Somebody said, well, I had to seek God out. I had to come to God, and I went through such hard place, Brother Pike, until I could find a preacher. You are lying. You're another lying devil. You know you are. Let's give the Lord a hand. The Bible said you didn't seek me. I sought you. I came to seek and to save that which was lost. How could you do anything? See, God can't look upon you, even as he did not look upon Adam. When Adam left that Shekinah glory, he said, where are you? They were then lost, and man has been lost ever since. And until the near kinsman redeemer, as to the Lord Jesus himself, that could be relative to us, came down from heaven and gave his blood as a spotless lamb, in that the life is in the blood, as a human image, to restore that wonderful Christ as to the Shekinah image and originality. Until that time, we were lost, beloved friend. And Jesus came to seek and to save. And he's been searching out ever since. And he finds us and he saves us. So it's not weird at all. It has to be the blood, because the life is in the blood. And I wish we had time to explain all of that, because the first bloodstream is gone because of Adam and sin. Now, that's why it's called a red dragon. It's because it's a love. It is a life, a blood life, and it is a crooked generation. But when it comes down to faith, that's all it takes. It's like I told my wife in the last day or two. I said, Betty, recession is on. So what? What does that mean? And I saw her and Sister Linda comparing notes, and that's good because they have to pay the bills. And the question arising, what are we going to do? Where are we going to get the money? How can it be? We've got to cover this. It's now. It's got to be right now. Right now. It's got to be right now. And I said, well, there's no need to worry about it. I said, the Lord has already took care of everything. I said, everything is just perfect. It's just exactly perfect. Just exactly perfect. I said, God don't do patchwork. It won't be no makeshift. I said, it'll be so perfect, it'll be right down to the very hairline. Right down to the very hairline. And as I've said so many times, and I said, if it don't come, why don't you just come and tell me I'm alive? It'd be a good chance for you to do it. And as I told Joseph, I said, Joseph's having a lot of problem, Eric, and whatever. I said, Joe, it'll be exactly that way, down to the very hairline. I said, it doesn't matter whether anybody has any money. It doesn't matter whether anybody gives any money. It doesn't matter whether anybody does anything. There is a heavenly Father that said He'd supply all of my needs. And praise God, He's already done it through Christ Jesus. And I'm going to enjoy it, and ain't nothing going to stop it. Hallelujah. And that's the way it is, folks. Well, to say the least, before the day was over, a call came through, and it was impossible. But it said, 30,000 is on its way. Let's give the Lord a hand. The Lord always keeps His word, not just for Brother Pike, but for you, for everyone. It doesn't matter who it is, for everyone, because you have faith. It's not my faith, even though I do pray, and I have faith for you, but it's your faith. And it's very simple. Somebody said, well, I just ain't got that far along. What do you mean you haven't got that far along? Well, somebody said, well, I just haven't been serving God long enough to have that kind of faith. What do you mean you haven't? And somebody said, well, Brother Pike, I just haven't lived that good. What do you mean? What's your goodness got to do with it anyway? He hasn't healed people because they're good. He said, there's none good. He healed them because He was good. He didn't save anybody because they were good. He saved them while they were yet in their sins. What are we talking about, folks? A little suckling babe that cries for its bottle, and the mother says, you're not good enough. Well, the little baby can't even think like that. See, don't listen to those ugly, devilish thoughts. You are God's beloved children. From the time you're born into the kingdom, and even before, as in the foreknowledge of God being His, you've always been His. You've always been eternal. Death hath no power over you. Sickness hath no power over you. Poverty hath no power over you. You don't have to go around trying to be good. These intellectual scholars is trying to fill your brain with things and indoctrinate you so that they'll get your admiration to prove how great they are and what they know. Don't mess with foolishness like that. The Bible said, don't let Satan deceive you to turn you away from the simplicity of the gospel, which is in Jesus Christ. Somebody said, well, what about the mysteries? Get the revelation of Jesus. Get the spirit of revelation. You'll grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. I preach to you, and I understand that you're growing. I'm growing. We're all growing. But I thank God because He made known to me the revelation, Paul said. And it's so beautiful when you understand your Savior. The Bible said in the end time, they that come to know their Savior shall do great and mighty exploits. And them that come to know and say, well, glory to God, I'm as righteous as I'll ever be. And how righteous is that? Without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. Someone said, well, that's what I'm growing toward. Has it ever occurred to you that a baby's more perfect when it's born than it is when it's 30 years old? Have you ever considered that? He said, and these little ones, their angel or spirit dwells in heaven. At 30 years old, he didn't say anything about anybody's angel dwelling in heaven. They come to the knowledge of the truth as required of them. How is it that you're getting better all the time? You're not getting better all the time. You're getting worse all the time. It's only by His grace that even the church world will be noticed in the condition that it's in today. So, beloved friend, let's love the Lord. Let's trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Let's love Him with all of our heart, our strength. Let's go after Him and love Him and worship Him and praise Him and give Him all the glory. And let's do everything that we possibly can as to subdue this flesh, as to sanctify this with a daily sanctification, knowing that it has nothing to do with us as a Christian. For how perfect do I have to get? Can I get any more perfect than what I am already? For He hath perfected me forever. Somebody says, no, wait a minute. What do you mean forever? Forever. When you was born again, that was forever. Not for day after tomorrow. Not to the next revival. Not going to backslide and come back to God. But He made you perfect forever. How is it that you felt so unperfect? You want me to tell you? Your unbelief. Let's give the Lord a hand. All right, let's everybody stand together. Praise the Lord tonight. We sing that song so often. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is the perfect day. This is the day of His rest. What is His rest? Therefore, there remaineth the rest for God's people, because those that come out of Egypt did not enter in. They murmured and died in the wilderness, and here we are in the day of His rest. And what is His rest? To come to realize that He's done all the work. They said, what must we do to work the works of God? Said, this is the works that you believe on Him, that the Father sent even Jesus, believing unto righteousness, for He is the works of God, and they were finished from the foundation of the world, as to the Lamb that done them in the mind of God and was slain in your behalf. And this is the works of Christ, that you believe. For the Bible said, blessed is the man unto whom God imputeth faith for works and for righteousness. And blessed is the man unto whom God will not impute iniquity. No iniquity. Blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven. His iniquities are taken away. His sins are covered by the blood. See, ye are perfect forever, justified, sanctified, and the Bible said glorified. Isn't that wonderful? So this is the day. This is the day of rest. How does a man enter into the work of the Lord as to his rest? The Bible said, he that hath entered into God's rest hath ceased from his own works. For the Bible said the Jews sought it as though it was by works as to their own righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness and seeking it by works rather than by faith in Jesus Christ. They stumble at the stumbling stone, even the righteousness of Almighty God. But ye, the spiritual Jew, and you did not do that. And today, you're translated into the kingdom. Hallelujah. I wish we had time to preach. We just got started enough here to get your attention to where we could preach. But let's sing this little chorus together. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. The Lord hath made. I will rejoice. I will rejoice. I'll be glad in it. Glad in it. This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, be glad in it. For this is the day, and this is the day that the Lord... Can you sing it with me now? For this is the day of His rest. For this is the day of His rest. That's what the day the Lord has made. The day that John entered into the Spirit, even the day of the Lord, even after Calvary. For this is the day, this is the day that my Lord hath made. My Lord hath made. And I will rejoice, and I will rejoice, be glad in it. This is the day the Lord hath made. And I will rejoice, I'll be glad in it. For this is the day, and this is the day that my... Can you sing more time? For this is the day, this is the day. What is the rapture? What is the translation? What is the catching away? John in the Spirit on the Lord's day, when the door was open heaven and it was said, come up hither. Paul up in the third heavens. That's why we teach what we do. Resurrection came by man. It's already come by man. If in death all die and are buried, then in the resurrection all live and are not buried. For this is the mystery. This is the mystery. The Lord spoke of. The Lord spoke of. I will rejoice. I'll be glad in it. Be glad in it. For this is the day the Lord hath made. And I will rejoice. Be glad in it. For this is the day. This is the day the Lord hath made. Remember in John's revelation, the Lord came. In the revelation of Jesus Christ, it said, and the heavens rolled back like a scroll. And the Bible says, for the time is at hand. And the heavens rolled back, and the sign of the Son of Man appeared in the heavens. And he said, and this is he that speaketh unto thee. So then, what is this day? What is this day? This is the day that the Lord hath made. A lot of days were made. A lot of days. That's from morning till night. But when Joshua crossed over the Jordan, there was no more night. And folks, Revelation is so great, it would take a long time to just get into a little of it. But we're going to have to grow up. Being children, we're fascinated. We want to be on television. We want to be seen. We want to be the preeminence. We want to be the preacher. We want to be the laity. We want to be the main player. Whatever. But like a television show, there is a main player in every television show. Isn't that right? Well, Jesus is the main player in this one. Hallelujah. Amen. And wherever the members of his body is, as to whatever the member might be, in whatever way God is using, he's the main player. Hallelujah. So this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. And how long are you planning to live to be the main player? Forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Always Christ, and God has given him the preeminence in all things, that he might have the preeminence in all things. And in that day, the Bible said, he alone shall be exalted. So if you're the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're looking for a great, wonderful day when the Shekinah glory of God is going to be made manifest in your body, and you're going to outshine the brightness of the noonday, and all of the world is going to come and kneel at your feet and know that Christ has loved you. For ye are the temples of the great, wonderful Holy Spirit, even Christ. And the Bible said, he shall suddenly come into his temple. All right, let's sing a chorus or two tonight as we worship. Things are getting closer and closer. Your eyes are getting open more and more. Your faith is being perfected more and more. So you're not waiting for the perfection. As to your perfection, he did that. You're waiting for your perfection to be revealed to you through the preaching of the unveiled word. It is revelated to your heart, and that through the ministry. For the Bible said the ministry is set there for the perfecting of the saints. And that means that life, which is already on the inside of you, resurrection, which is on the inside of you, you've already passed from death unto life, is going to be made manifest in your mortal body. And these shadows of mortality, body of mortality, shall be swallowed up by immortality. And the corruptible shall be swallowed up by the incorruptible Shekinah glory. Have the kingdom of God, the light on the inside of you, as it's made manifest in your mortal genes. And that light is the wonderful, unveiled understanding or knowledge of Almighty God. We're going on and going on. And as the songwriter said, and this great caravan keeps on rolling along. And some of you won't get very far because you're carnal-minded. You're intellectually indoctrinated. You're from college and school and your own training and whatever. And there's always a mental block. There's always something there that's standing in the way of the spirit, because the carnal mind is at enmity with God and it can never please God because you're in the flesh. But when you get into the mind of Christ, and the mind of Christ begins to talk to you and lead you like a little child, and you forget about all of your ambition, all of your geniusy and whatever, then this wonderful light begins to flood your soul. See, and as it begins to flood your soul, you become brighter and brighter and brighter in your angelic being, and wisdom maketh the man's face to shine, and the first news you know, it's penetrating, and there it is. That's what happened to Enoch. He walked with the Lord 300 years and was not, for God took him. This wonderful light shined as the heavens declared his handiwork. Never leaving us without witness in any generation. Let's sing this little chorus together. Son, through the waters, on through the floods, some through great trials, but all through the blood. But in the darkness, God gives us a song. Through the night season and all the day along. See, in the darkness of your intellectual reasoning, there is a song. And that song is like we wrote the song of the Lamb, the song of the Lamb. For when they stood at the end of the way in the revelation of John, the Bible said, and they stood on the sea of glass, and some sang the song of Moses as to those that were under the law to the resurrection, and those that were they that followed the Lamb whithersoever he goes. The true ones as to born again, they sing the song of the Lamb. You love the Lord? All right, let's sing another little chorus, Brother Taylor. I read in God's Bible where he so loved sinners, gave his son to die in their place, took the place on the cruel cross of Calvary. Thank the Lord for his marvelous. Sing that with me. Thank God there's a bridge over the river. Someday gonna see his sweet face with him. I'll abide there forever. Thank the Lord for his marvelous. I read where he said, let not your heart be troubled. I go to prepare you a place. Gates of pearl, streets of gold, they're pure walls of jasper. Thank the Lord for his marvelous grace. Thank God there's a bridge over the river. Someday I'll see his sweet face with him. I'll abide there forever. Thank the Lord for his marvelous. Sing that one more time. I read where he said, let not your heart be troubled. I go to prepare you a place. Gates of pearl, streets of gold, there's pure walls of jasper. Thank the Lord for his marvelous way. Thank God there's a bridge over the river. Someday gonna see his sweet face with him. I'll abide there forever. Thank the Lord for his marvelous grace. When I stand upon looking o'er into the city, gives me faith that I
can make it after all. Sing that with me. For after all, life is over, and my burdens have been lifted, and to stand upon the mountain of so tall, looking on to the city that the Lord said he's preparing, gives me faith that I can make it after all.
You love the Lord? Everything is going to work out right. And maybe you don't believe that, but it's still going to work out right. Maybe you are just a babe and you really can't get a hold of that, but it's still going to work out all right. And we sing that song, everything's going to be all right. No matter what we think, everything's going to be all right. Some of you could never believe it, but some of you do believe it. And some of you are just babes, you're trying to believe it. But when you can't believe it, look at a Christian. Look at somebody that's proved it and stay with that. And stay right there as they under you as a parent until you get encouraged, and then you can believe it too. You love the Lord? Let's sing this little chorus, Have Faith in God, Brother Pye, or Brother Taylor. All right, let's sing it together. Have faith in God. Sing that with me. Let's have faith in God. Let's have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith in God. Sing it again now. Let us have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for salvation. Have faith in God. Sometimes you step a little late. Maybe you stumble a little bit at your words. But nevertheless, Paul said, though the outer man perisheth, the inner man is renewed day by day. And that is where the secret is, and that is what we are interested in. Let's sing another chorus together, can we? I love him. I love him. All because that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Let's sing this song. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. For I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I can see. And when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown. I'm gonna wear a crown. Paul said, there's now therefore a crown
that's laid up for them that love him, laid up for me and all of them. Paul could not have said that of his own righteousness, because he had been a wretch as to the amazing grace. But he knew it was by the blood of Jesus, and he had discovered the righteousness of God and became the overseer of the Gentile church. And they who had not sought after God received him, and the one that had done all of the righteousness of the Jews was turned away. That's why we believe that we're going to wear a crown, is because he has made us perfect forever. Ye crown, can't you sing that? For when this battle is over, we're going to wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. I'll wear a crown by his righteousness. The Bible speaks of the crown of righteousness. Everyone that hath done that which is pure in his sight, God hath laid up for us a crown of righteousness. What kind of crown? Righteousness for my soul, that it might live forever. And that righteousness under which I believe, even the righteousness of the Son of God, as God crowns my soul with the glory of his righteousness. Wear a bright and a shiny, that little thing you set on your head of a king and a queen with a few little jewels and a few little diamonds in it, that ain't good for nothing but the rubbish. But this kind of crown, that is a glory as to an inter-overflowing thing, like an artesian well, spreads out from everlasting to everlasting. Wear the bright and shiny crown. Oh, when this battle is over, I'm going to wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. One more time together. We'll wear the crown. We'll wear the crown. I'll wear that bright and shiny crown. For when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. All right, let's lift our hands up, close our eyes. I hope we've said some little something tonight to inspire you, to help you along life's way, and to make you see clear enough that you can go out with this little chorus as we begin to sing here tonight, as we sing the other night, that you'll have the understanding, that you'll have the courage, that you'll have the boldness to come boldly before the throne of grace in the time of your need, which is now, because you have need. And come boldly before the throne of grace, because he's given you all things through Christ Jesus. And that boldness is in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus, for the veil has been rent in twain, and all things are now yours. So rejoice forevermore, enjoy all things, for he has secured thee forever, that sin can never, never get to thee. Let's sing together, Kevin. Let's sing this chorus, friend. Go and bring them in. Bring them in. Go bring them in from the fields of sin. Oh, and bring them in. Bring them in. Go and bring those wandering ones to Jesus. Sing it with me. Let us bring them in. Bring them in. Go and bring them in from the fields. Remember now, you're not in your sins. He saved you from your sins. And Paul said, because of the resurrection of Jesus, you're now free from your sin. And all of them are in their sins. You go as a light now to tell them what Jesus has done, and that there is a city of light, and there is a place where people preach that men don't sin anymore. And because of that, that they don't die anymore. And this wonderful city, the bright, beautiful city that's descending out of heaven, of the lively stones of the saints of God, is a bride adorned for the husband. That all they've got to do out there is find the way. And if they're elect, they'll see your light.
And you go out there and get those weary ones now and bring them home to Jesus. The shadows are falling everywhere. And you go tell them they don't belong out there. And that they're precious, darling children of God. And come over so God can put them under the showers of heaven, wash them, and clean them up so they won't be heavy-hearted anymore, won't be perverted in mind anymore, won't be charged with those evils anymore. Satan won't steal their virtues of life anymore, and they won't suffer the miseries and pains of that of the prodigal. Let's sing it again, can we? Go and bring them in. Go and bring them in. Go and bring them in. It might be your brother. It might be your sister. It might be your daddy. It might be your mother. It might be a friend. It could be your children. Those wandering ones to Jesus. Bring them in. Go and bring them in. Bring them in from the field of sin. Bring. Go and bring them in. Go and bring those wandering ones to Jesus. One more time now. Let us bring them in. Bring them in. Bring them in from the fields of sin. Go and bring them in. Bring them in. Go and bring the wandering ones to Jesus. Did you know that every one of those people that you get out there will be jewels in your crown? The Bible said, when I come to make up my jewels, and that if they are an elect, that within the crown as to the radius of your life and your lifespan, which is eternal, that you'll look out there and it'll sparkle, outshining the noonday, and you'll see one over here, and one over here, and one over here, and how beautiful they will be. As in your crown of living, as you feel the inspiration, as the sun shining within your strength, life and youth and health and prosperity and riches, beauty and splendor and magnificence and glory, and you see that wonderful sparkling jewel that you, the Bible said, go and pull them out of the fire, despising or hating the body as to a garment that's spotted with sin. And become their Savior. For I will send Saviors in the plural up upon the mountain. For the Bible said, convert a person. When you convert a person, know that you've saved his soul from hell. As the body of the Lord Jesus, let us go and do that. Can we do that? Lift your hands up with me. Let's close our eyes and let's sing the little chorus. And I will praise him. I will praise him. To give him the glory. The glory be unto God. All of the glory be to God. Evermore. As the song says, and we'll give him the glory, always to give him the glory, for the glory be to God. And so wonderful it is, even though we give him the glory, yet we are swallowed up in his glory and partakers of his glory, for man is the glory of God. He was made that his mind as to that light, and that desire should be radiating through man as to turn into deeds and activity, as to reproduction, to cause others to be born into the kingdom through the expression as to the seed of the word, as to a divine conception of life to bring forth the image of the Son of God. How beautiful it is. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of great joy. How beautiful it is. I know you don't understand it yet, many of you. You don't understand the beauty, the greatness, the mightiness of the minister. Don't grieve him. It's not profitable to you to grieve him. Let him bless you. Let him smile upon you. For it's not him speaking, but Christ. He that God sendeth will speak God's word. The veil is moving. We're beginning to comprehend as to the heights, the depth, the width, and the length, that the veil is gone. And that veil is your intellectual reasoning as to a contrariness of mind through the fall of the garden. There, that thing. See, and this light is eradicating that intellectual veil of death. For to be carnally minded is death. Today that thou eatest thou, if you'll become carnal minded, and you'll die. And God is eradicating that with the brightness of his coming. To destroy Lucifer, even he that has been in the temple, even from your childhood, as a spirit of foolishness. He's been there, and God is driving him out as you come to the knowledge of the truth. He's driving him out with the brightness of his coming, for with the brightness of that coming, it destroys him. That's why that is a held on in that vision. The heavens turned into fire. It became brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. And like Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. While we've got our hands up and got our eyes closed, the Bible said, examine yourself and see if your faith and conviction is in the Word. Not in ideology, not in theology, not in what you've thought, not in what you've been brought up as a child, but as in the Word of God. While you've got your hands lifted up, your eyes closed, and while you're meditating, I'm going to ask Brother Richard the Jew to come and dismiss us, if he will. And while he comes, let's worship the Lord. God is a spirit. God seeketh them that are spiritual to worship him in spirit and in truth. Don't give your life to the body. It profiteth nothing. Give it to the Holy Spirit. And after a while, that precious spirit, it will gain momentum until it becomes so bright and so beautiful. And then it'll break through and penetrate as the wisdom that maketh the face to shine. And the illumination of your body as Jesus had appeared in glory. Whose body ye are, and in that glory ye are, and you're going to appear between the law and the prophets as the righteousness of Jesus. You're going to appear in glory, because when Jesus stood there, that was you. He did all of that for you. And then he come down and he become your sin and shame to die in the presence of the Father, that you could walk right on into glory without having to go by the way of the casket. As Paul said, the great mystery that we should not all sleep. I wish we had plenty of time to go into those things. But nevertheless, think on these things. And when it's convenient for you, pray for me. Pray for my loved ones.